And we'll roll on to our next political story. With just a little over 1 week to go before the midterm elections, there are an abundance of polls on House and Senate races, voter turnout, the strength of the Tea Party, and trends in early voting. You name it, and you can bet that some pollster is tracking it. We turn now to someone who's been described as the pollster's pollster because of his ability to crunch data in new ways and because of his knack for making razor-sharp predictions. We're talking about Nate Silver, the statistician who's founded a blog called 538, which, by the way, is the total number of Electoral College votes. Nate Silver, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you.
With just a week to go, are there any trends in particular that we should be noting in these final days?
You know, I think it's actually been quite flat overall, where since Labor Day or so, I think you kind of know the rules of the game, so to speak, which that Democrats will not be given credit for having right of the economy, that Republicans will benefit a lot from that. Now, you know, knowing the rules of the game doesn't mean it can't be played out in different ways, but it's an unfavorable climate to Democrats, and it seems like it's been fairly stable, frankly, over the past month and a half.
And I guess that's good news for Republicans, because their strategy is basically to hold on to the ball and run down the clock.
Yeah, that's right, to use the kind of sports metaphor. But certainly in the House, they look like they're the clear favorites to pick up a majority of seats. We think it's most likely to be about 50. It could be more. It could be 60 or 70. It could be fewer, which means Democrats would retain control. We think it's about a 1 in 5 chance. In the Senate, though, Republicans still need to find one or two more states where they can notch a win. It looks like they have a pretty clear path to 49 or 50. They would need 51, though, because otherwise you'd have a 50-50 split and Joe Biden, the vice president, would break the tie. So they need to win a state in blue territory. You know, if they only, quote-unquote, won 8 or 9 Senate seats, that's still a terrific year by kind of any usual standard.
Nate Silver, you took a bold step over the weekend with a forecast that diminished the Republicans' chances for taking over the Senate, as you noted. What's that based on?
Well, the Senate's a lot easier to kind of get a handle on than the House, where you have 12, 14 competitive Senate seats versus 100 or so in the House. What we see is Republicans kind of stuck on about a potential 50-seat gain, but they haven't quite gotten California, for instance, to the point where it's a toss-up, or Washington State. They could still lose. So, you know, they kind of have to flip the coin 4 times and have it come up heads kind of 4 times in a row to take the Senate.
What are you predicting in the 37 states with gubernatorial races right now?
Well, we think overall at the end of November 2nd, you'll have Republicans with control of 30 of the 50 states. So that would count seats they already would carry over from the previous election. But they figure to win the majority of open seat races on election night. They should probably retain all of their incumbents. They will probably beat a couple of Democratic incumbents, like in Iowa. I mean, yeah, there will be some silver linings for Democrats in the gubernatorial races. They'll probably win some of the large states. For instance, California looks good for them. They'll certainly win here in New York, I would think. But overall, especially in the Midwest, you have Republicans kind of winning the majority, or poised to win the majority of those races. And so the trend you see in the congressional races will kind of carry over to governor's races, and also to state houses, where you have Democratic legislatures being ousted by Republican ones, and they'll have control over redistricting and kind of policy at the state level for the next couple of years.
In some of these states, there are still a large number of undecided voters. What accounts for that, and where are they trending?
Well, this late in a race, I mean, early in a race, if you have undecided voters, it's usually because they aren't familiar with the candidates, right? This late in a race, it means they are familiar with the candidates and don't like them. But usually, you know, it's kind of if you have, you know, 15% undecided this late in the race, it kind of means that both parties have kind of failed to nominate the right candidate and could have won that race if they'd picked a better one.
Nate Silver, good to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you, Michelle.
Nate Silver is a statistician and founder of the political blog 538. It's hosted by the New York Times.